Today we begin our study in Ephesians chapter 3 in just a moment. But before we begin, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you for this opportunity and privilege it is to open up thy very words. We pray for the Holy Spirit of God to be our guide and teacher this day. We pray that you'd bless the lesson, bless the listener, Father. Bless your word as it goes forth. And we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Ephesians chapter 3. We could probably entitle this chapter the eternal purpose in Christ Jesus. The eternal purpose in Christ Jesus. In this chapter, the Apostle Paul explains to the Gentile converts in Ephesus the eternal purpose which God purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Notice in verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 3, we read this, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now that purpose was unknown to men in the Old Testament, but was revealed to Paul and to the apostles and prophets of the New Testament by the Spirit. I direct your attention to verse 5 of Ephesians 3. We read this, which in other ages, meaning the Old Testament, before the New Testament, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And the Spirit has a capital S, meaning the Holy Spirit. Now, part of the purpose is that Gentiles in Christ would be in the same body as Jews in Christ, as fellow heirs and partakers of the promise in Christ. Look with me, if you would, in verse 6 of Ephesians chapter 3. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now this was a mystery that was revealed to Paul. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. In fact, God revealed seven mysteries to Paul through his ministry. These mysteries are, first of all, the mystery of godliness, God manifested in the flesh. And we find that in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Let's turn there. The words of God say in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The second mystery that God revealed to the Apostle Paul was the mystery of Christ in us. In other words, Christ indwelling our bodies. We find this in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Colossians chapter 1 with me, verse number 27. We read this. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory, here it is, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The third mystery that God revealed to the Apostle Paul was the mystery of the body of Christ. In other words, saints in Christ's body. Let's turn back to Ephesians chapter 5 this time and read verses 30 to 32. The words of God say this: "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Here it is. "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Now, the fourth mystery that God revealed to the Apostle Paul was the ministry of the rapture. In other words, our glorification in heaven. And we find this, if you'll turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. And look at verses, we'll read verses 50 to 55. Notice what the words of God say. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I shew you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O grave, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" And then the fifth mystery that God revealed to the Apostle Paul was the mystery of iniquity. The mystery of iniquity. In other words, the Antichrist. We find this, if you'll turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians with me in chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And we'll look at verses 7 and 8. The words of God have this to say: "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." And then the sixth mystery that God revealed to the Apostle Paul is the mystery of Babylon. The mystery of Babylon. In other words, the Antichrist's city. And we find this in the book of Revelation, chapter number 17, in verses 4 through 6. The words of God have this to say: "And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the mother of harlots, and abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." And then the last and the seventh mystery that God revealed to the Apostle Paul was the mystery of Israel's regeneration. In other words, Israel's salvation as a nation. And we find this in Romans, chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, look with me in verses 25 and 26. The words of God have this to say. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And of course, deliverer has a capital D, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul, having received this revelation from the Lord, was faithful to the Gentiles to minister this truth by grace, by the grace and power of God. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7, the words of God have this to say, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. See? Of his power. Also, Paul, having received this revelation from the Lord, was faithful to the Gentiles to minister this truth by the grace of God and of power, and to preach the gospel in the unsearchable riches of Christ among them. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 6 and 8. The words of God say this, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Verse 8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Not only that, but also Paul, to write to them about the inclusion in Christ. See? To write to them, he was faithful to write to the Gentiles about the inclusion in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3, he says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words. Also, he was faithful to pray for their strength, faith, and love. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19, the words of God say this, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the might by his Spirit in the inner man. Verse 17, that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And then we see finally, and he was even faithful, even to go to jail for what he believed. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, he says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. And Paul did not want them to faint just because he had gotten locked up. Look with me. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13, the words of God say this, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. See, God wanted them to know the unsearchable riches of Christ, which are the following. His goodness. Amen. Look in Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Notice what the words of God have to say. It says here, of or despisest thou the riches of his goodness? And also, another unsearchable riches of Christ is his forbearance. We see that in verse 4 of Romans 2. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance? And another one is, in his long suffering. God wanted them to know the unsearchable riches of Christ, his goodness, his forbearance, his long suffering, and his wisdom. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 with me. Of his wisdom and also his knowledge. We see in Romans 11, verse 33, we read this. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. And then we see another unsearchable riches of Christ is his grace. His grace. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. The words of God say this. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, here it is, according to the riches of his grace. And then finally, his glory. His glory. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, we read this. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. So God wanted them to know the unsearchable riches of Christ, which are his goodness, his forbearance, his long suffering, his wisdom, his knowledge, his grace, and his glory. Now, God also wanted the church to know the manifold wisdom of God, not only as it concerns things on earth, but also as it pertains unto principalities and powers in heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, the words of God say this, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. And then in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 21 to 23, we read this. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Therefore, Paul prayed to them according to these truths. And the prayer holds true for us, that God would, first of all, strengthen our inner man. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the might by his Spirit in the inner man. Because we should rely. Why did he pray that we should be strengthened our inner man? Because we should rely on Jesus Christ, who is in us, and now we know it. Amen? And he prayed also, which applies to us today, that Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. See? He's already in our souls by the new birth. So here Paul is praying for Christ to dwell in our hearts, guiding our affections, our motives, desires, and thoughts. Also, he prayed that we would be rooted and grounded in love. Again, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. We read this. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye be being rooted and grounded in love. Why? Because different people are brought together in the body of Christ, like Jews and Gentiles. And because light, love is the tight bond that keeps us from having division in the church. He also prayed that we would have the wisdom to comprehend things in the universe. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 and 18, we read this. Verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Verse 18, Ephesians 3. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. You see, God wants the church to have wisdom unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Let's look at some cross references to this. First one in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 with me, if you would. Romans 8, and we're going to look at verses 38 to 39 in Romans 8. We read this. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, God wants the church to have wisdom under the principalities and powers in heavenly places. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, we read this. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 with me. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, he says, set your affection on the things above, not on the things on the earth. He also prayed, amen, that we would know the love of Christ. Amen. That we would know the love of Christ. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. The words of God say this, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So, that we would know the love of Christ so that we can be filled with the fullness of God. And notice that this love passes knowledge. And yet he wants us to know it. So that would necessitate divine knowledge. Amen. And then he prayed finally that we would bring glory to God in the church. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 to 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. He prayed that we would bring glory to God in the church by allowing him to do things through us that abundantly exceed all that we could ask or think by his power that is in us. God gets glory because everyone knows that we could not have done those things on our own. Amen. So, let's just review quickly chapter 3 of Ephesians. And we said we gave this chapter the title, The Eternal Purpose in Christ Jesus. And we saw that in this chapter, that Paul explains to the Gentile converts in Ephesus the eternal purpose which God purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. See? And we saw that this purpose was unknown to men in the Old Testament, but it was revealed to the Apostle Paul, to the apostles and prophets of the New Testament by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we saw that part of that purpose is that the Gentiles in Christ would be in the same body as the Jews in Christ, as fellow heirs and partakers of the promise of Christ. See? And this Jew and Gentile in one body was a mystery, we saw, that was revealed to the Apostle Paul. Amen? And in fact, we saw that God revealed seven mysteries to Paul throughout his ministry. We saw these ministries, these mysteries were the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh, the mystery of Christ in us, Christ dwelling, indwelling our bodies, the mystery of the body of Christ, saints in Christ's body, the mystery of the rapture, our glorification in heaven, the mystery of iniquity, the Antichrist, the mystery of Babylon, which is the Antichrist city, and then the seventh mystery and last, the mystery of Israel's regeneration. In the future, Israel's salvation as a nation. See? So, we saw then that Paul, having received his revelation from the Lord, amen, was faithful to the Gentiles to minister this truth by the grace and power of God, to preach the gospel in the unsearchable riches of Christ among them. And we saw some of these unreachable Christ, unsearchable riches of Christ. That we saw that it was one of them is his goodness, and then we saw another unsearchable riches is his forbearance, his long suffering, his wisdom, his knowledge, his grace, and his glory. And then we finally saw that God also wanted the church to know the manifold wisdom of God, not only as it concerned things on earth, but also as it pertains unto principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So as a result, Paul prayed for them according to these truths. And we saw that Paul's prayer also holds true for us, that God would, first of all, strengthen our inner man, number one, that Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith, number two, that we would be rooted and grounded in love, number three, and that we would have the wisdom to comprehend things in the universe, number four, see, that we would know the love of Christ, number five, that we would bring glory to God in the church, number six. So, that concludes chapter number three of Ephesians. And before I sign off today, I just want to mention that this study of the book of Ephesians will be available on CD to anyone who would like it. All that you have to do, if you would like to receive this study, is drop me a note at the address that it will be given at the end of the broadcast. So when we conclude this study, if you would like it, or maybe you just want one or two recordings of the study, whatever it is, it'll be available on CD. All you have to do is drop me a note at the end of the broadcast, and I'll get it out to you absolutely free. It's been a blessing to be with you today. I thank you for joining me today. And until we meet again, may God richly bless each and every one of you, is my prayer, and good day.